Welcome to the New Zealand Foreign Trust Podcast with Kate Weiss, brought to you by Asia City Trust New Zealand Limited.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the New Zealand Foreign Trust podcast series. My name is Kate Weiss and I am the Managing Director of Asia City Trust New Zealand Limited. My guest today is Michael O'Kane, the Chief Operating Officer of New Zealand Bullion Depository. Welcome back, Michael.
Thank you, Kate.
Michael, how can our listeners find you? You are on LinkedIn, and what's your website?
Easiest place is our website, which is nzbd.com.
So in today's episode, we are going to be looking at New Zealand as the best place to hold gold bullion. There is a natural overlap to New Zealand being the premier location for trust administration and New Zealand being the premier location for storage of gold bullion. So, Michael, let's start with geographic diversification. What are the risks of a single jurisdiction storage for gold bullion?
The biggest risk really of holding it in a single jurisdiction is one of the things we're seeing play out at the moment. It's geopolitical risk. And a lot of movement in the world, and particularly in the bullion world at the moment, is people positioning themselves to make sure that they de-risk where they're holding it or be in position to protect what they've got in play at the moment. So to give you an example, there's a very large volume of metal being moved out of London into New York as a preparation, shall we say, against any potential tariff changes around gold in the US. That means it has to go from London to Switzerland, be refined, changed form, then sent to New York, which is a manufacturing test as much as it is a movement and logistical test.
Sorry, on that, why does it have to be refined to go into the States?
So the purity of the gold that's been held in London is different to the purity of gold required in New York for the COMEX and the holdings in the US. So they refine it, but that happens where it moves, no matter where it moves, it's going to end up being changed in purity. But it creates backlogs in how they move things around. So at the moment, there is a backlog going from London to New York. If you're getting into the game at the moment, you may see that there's a delay in getting product. That's just one of the things to consider.
Being New Zealand, where it's unlikely we're going to have any tariffs imposed upon us because we're an outlier and we're not that important and we're not a huge trade party, a partner of the US, is that an advantage of storing gold here in New Zealand?
I would argue there's a lot of advantages. The keys really come down to, one, under New Zealand tax law, gold's not really classed as a financial asset. As far as how things are managed in New Zealand, it's more of a commodity than it is as a financial product, which gives it a little bit more protection. To New Zealand, if you're going to be holding metal in New Zealand, metal being gold, my general recommendation is you're putting it here as a safe haven.
Okay.
So New Zealand, and I'll make a disclosure now. I'm a Kiwi. I was born here. I like to think New Zealand's the best place in the world. So I, of course, am going to say New Zealand being one of the safest places in the world, it's a great long-term storage location. If you're looking for high liquidity or fast movement, I can have metal from Auckland to the US or Auckland to Europe generally within 4 working days.
Wow.
So it's pretty quick.
Yeah.
But if you're looking to do it overnight or within a 24-hour period, we're a little bit too far away from the rest of the world to make that a feasible option.
Yeah, but in reality, it could take me longer than that to get it across Zurich. Once I've got my armoured guards and my armoured van, it would take days to organise. So you say that's...
Or
that's,
get a ticket to fly anywhere.
Yeah, but I'm talking about getting it across Zurich from one bank to another. Once you've organised and got the insurance set up, you talk about not being able to do it within 24 hours. In reality, it can take longer than that to, you know... When you've got the right amount of gold going from one place to another place, even across the city can take longer than 4 days to organise.
And the key aspect of that is the distance between New Zealand and the rest of the world. And that's to our benefit if you're looking at it as a long-term storage service. Yeah. So to give your listeners an idea, Auckland to Sydney, which is, I think, our closest neighbour, or Auckland to Melbourne, it's about a 3.5-hour flight.
Yeah.
If you want to go anywhere else, you're looking at 9 to 10 hours and or longer. It's what used to be for New Zealand the tyranny of distance. So my family came to New Zealand in 1860. It was a 6-month boat trip via Australia.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, it's for me to get to the same place, it's literally 24 hours on a plane, like in the air for 24 hours. Painful if you wanted to go on holiday, but it's brilliant if you're wanting to put something safe outside of the general hullabaloo of what's going on in the world. And the benefit being New Zealand's, it's a nice, small, clean, again, safe place.
Yeah. So what are the considerations when choosing a jurisdiction for storage of gold bullion?
That's where we come into a lot of positives that most places only have a few.
Yeah.
So New Zealand, and there's a little bit of a discussion at the moment, New Zealand was in the top 3 for anti-corruption. We're now number 5. Behind 3 or 4 Nordic countries and Singapore. Mm-hmm. So whilst we're still better than 99% of the world, we've lost a place. Safest country to live in, top 2.
Yeah.
Contract law security, top 3. We're in the top 3.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are benefits for New Zealand. So a lot of my clients are at a level where they've travelled around the world. They've looked for somewhere that's safe, good economy, good rule of law. They can be comfortable that if they have a contract in place that it's going to be honoured by local courts and foreign courts, and New Zealand ticks all of those boxes.
So just to reflect on that, talking about the minimal corruption, that transparency index is actually for public sector corruption.
Mm.
And if people are really interested in in-depth discussion on that, listen to episode 4 of this podcast, because Henry Bransky-Easton and I go into that, and public sector versus what we're doing, which is the private sector. It talks about that in more detail. And then the strong rule of law, and we talk about that at length in episode 3 of this podcast series. But yeah, agree with you. We do tick all the boxes in New Zealand when it and head all of the offshore or midshore jurisdictions which are offering similar to us, including the US, which end up being 24th on the rule of law matrix. And when it comes to corruption, I'm not even going to tell you where they are on that. And the UK as well, it doesn't score anywhere near as highly as us.
Yeah. From a bullion storage perspective, I tend to talk about New Zealand as being the new smaller Switzerland.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, we're about the same size as the UK or Japan with only a population of 5 million people, which also works in our favour, because when one of the big considerations at the moment, particularly in the gold world, the driver is geopolitical risk.
Yes.
And New Zealand being a stable little country at the bottom of the world, we don't tend to, we're not even on 80% of the maps in the world.
Yes.
Works in our favour.
Exactly. And that's something, it's a really interesting point. One of the old prime ministers of New Zealand actually said he wanted to create this cottage industry in New Zealand, like what the Swiss have, to have financial services there. And it's actually an article that Henry Bransky-Easton recently wrote that, is it time to dust off that idea and to promote ourselves as this financial services industry in the South Pacific Ocean?
It makes sense. We're a hub for the Pacific. We are a conduit between a lot of countries. So our chief trading partners are either in the Southern Hemisphere or the Northern Hemisphere. It's not like we're restricted to one area.
No.
And a long time ago, I worked in the banking sector. And one of the key things that was on a Monday morning, New Zealand was the only market open for about 3 hours.
Yes.
We're ahead of the world time-wise. And we tend to lead the world with a lot of concepts and technology that aid in making things a lot smoother and a lot quicker. So from that perspective, yeah, the whole concept of making New Zealand part of the financial world, a key player in it, makes perfect sense. It's well worth having a look at.
So looking at New Zealand as a sensible location for gold bullion, what kind of tax advantages are there? You talked earlier about New Zealand not classing gold bullion as a financial asset.
So under current tax law, there is no GST.
Okay.
So gold is not GST rated, which means for me to import any value of metal into New Zealand, I pay $60 at the border.
Okay.
That's it.
Wow.
So
GST, for those listening, is goods and services tax, so like the UK VAT or Mindervertsteuer in Switzerland.
Yeah. And from that perspective, we're a lot like Singapore, Switzerland, where it's not taxed at the border. So it's a straight in, straight out process.
Yeah. And obviously there's no income tax because there's no income earned on gold.
Technically, there's capital gains tax.
Okay, technically.
But I'm not an accountant or a lawyer, so I don't want to talk about it. just off the record, the last Inland Revenue Commissioner sent out a letter essentially saying the only way you don't have to pay capital gains tax on bullion is if you sell it, is if you can prove to us that you have bought it as a long-term, multi-generational investment product rather than to make a profit. And I will not believe you when you tell me that, so ha.
Yeah. Oh, no, I get that. But year on year, as long as you don't sell it, there's no tax. There's only going to be tax on sale, which everyone would expect there to happen unless you can prove that you've bought it in the circumstances.
Only assuming you sell it in New Zealand. You don't have to sell it in New Zealand.
Exactly.
Or if you're not a tax resident, you don't even have to pay tax on it here. But then you get into multi-jurisdictional questions. Yeah. And again, I'm not an accountant. I don't want to get into that.
Yes. Okay.
Just because no matter what I say, we'll be wrong at some point.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be.
So it is tax neutral.
Yeah.
So, which ultimately is an advantage for having your gold in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's look at the importance of the storage provider and what should clients be looking for, or what should our listeners be looking for when they are choosing their storage provider?
One of the key things we are very careful and work very hard on is our transparency. At the end of the day, it's a trust industry. If you don't trust the person looking after this product, it's in the wrong place. It's just as simple as that.
Yes.
So what I have worked on and what we've worked on as a company for the last 13, 14 years is being as transparent about what we do and how we do it to look after the client's metal. You want to be able to go in and touch it.
Yes.
It's yours. You are the owner of it. That is also a key element, is making sure you are the owner of it legally.
Yes.
We help our clients with movements around the world. So, for example, during the GFC, we had a large number of clients who wanted to move metal out of Switzerland. We would arrange to get it collected and brought to New Zealand for them. Some places won't do that. They don't want to know. It's yours. You have to come and pick it up and move it and take care of it. Some locations will make you buy and sell it through them. You become a captive client.
Yes.
If you can't just pick it up and take it out, it creates other issues. So it's about ensuring that at the end of the day you are comfortable that something very liquid and very portable is in a safe place with people that you can be comfortable it is safe.
So how would your setup compare with a setup in the banking system?
From a security perspective and an insurance perspective, our key difference is we do what is called allocated segregated metal. So you've possibly seen pictures on the internet of these warehouses where they have racks and racks and racks of metal, and you can see it all and people can go in and point at it. Our facility, you can't do that.
Okay.
You will never see anyone else's metal. So ours is always kept completely distinct and separate from anyone else's.
Yes.
And there's no risk of commingling or anything else like that. The other part of it is we aren't part of the financial sector.
Okay.
So we're a privately owned storage service. We're not a bank. We're not in the banking sector. So when there are risks that come to the banking sector, a la the GFC, mm-hmm. we stand as just a storage service.
Okay.
Which makes us a little bit more stable, a little bit more considered. And we are only doing one thing at the end of the day.
Yes.
So our total focus is on the safe and secure storage of gold.
I think that's all very interesting.
I love it. It's not so interesting.
No, it is. It's brilliant. And my mind boggles, and I've got lots of ideas of how my trusts can benefit from the gold storage and from having the gold bullion here in New Zealand. I think there's lots of opportunities.
Yep.
And definitely from collecting in the assets and knowing where they are, that's really the advantage of it, and from the confidentiality aspect of it all as well.
I mean, that's the issues with the banking sector today are if you're an American, you can't put anything into Switzerland.
Yeah.
If you're a European, you probably can't put much into the US in the near term because that's about to change. We will do our due diligence on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
We have an existing portfolio of clients.
Yeah.
We're not going to bring anyone in that would put our current clients to risk.
Yeah.
But if you're a fit within that sphere, we will take you on board, assuming you've passed our due diligence.
Yes.
And that's it. We're not going to say, no, you're from the US. We're not touching you. So we're a little bit more universal than some areas.
Yes. So to sum up, New Zealand is going to be a safe haven for storing your gold bullion. There are certain protections against geopolitical risks. It's going to offer you geographic diversification. It's going to offer you safety from these ripples that occur from various world events that are happening throughout the world. It's going to offer you protection because of its sophisticated rule of law, its economic stability, its lack of corruption. Although it's not the best in the world, which it was maybe 5-6 years ago, it still has, you know, a tremendous lack of corruption around the world. It obviously has you based here, which is going to be an advantage for it. Its safety, its stability, and its tax neutrality. So, Michael, thank you very much for joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed joining me on these podcasts.
Thank you, Kate, for having me.
On the topic of gold, where can our listeners find out more information about gold?
One place I tend to look for, if you're looking for data on gold at a level from central banks and reserve banks all the way down to investor and institutional, I would tend to look at the World Gold Council, which their website's gold.org.
Oh, even I can remember that.
Yeah, it's nice and easy. They're a great repository of information and data. They publish articles on a regular basis. Well worth having a look at, even if you're just interested to see what's going on. And they're very neutral, so they don't have any particular slant.
That's perfect. I would like to also say thank you to the listeners. This is the end of the first series of podcasts on the New Zealand Foreign Trust. Season 2 will be coming out later this year. Please do contact me on LinkedIn or through the Asia City website on any topics you would like us to cover in Season 2. Thank you so much for listening and for your feedback, and I look forward to working with you all in the future.